Like we always do at this time. What's up, y'all? It's been a minute, but we back and we back and we back. How y'all doing? It's Jamil Jude. I have the best job in the American theater because I'm the artistic director here at True Colors Theater Company. And just welcome back to the True Colors podcast. Welcome back to True Colors. Welcome back to our new season. I know you've had a couple opportunities to interact with us all throughout this season. But here in 2023, we're calling it Reclaiming Hours. It's year two of our three-year Sankofa season cycle, and we are just so excited to be kicking it off with the world premiere of Good Bad People. That kicks off our 20th anniversary season of main stage productions, and you all know that we had to come back to the True Colors podcast to make it all happen. And today, I am joined by no other than the griot, Rachel Lynette, who's here to talk about Good Bad People. So please, you know, give me a virtual welcome, or if you're just listening to the audio, give me a little audio, a round of applause as we welcome Rachel Lynette to join me here on the True Colors podcast. There they are.
Hi.
What's up, Rachel?
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing well. It is good to see your face. I believe I'm seeing your face. I have my glasses off for those of you all who are watching. You know me. You know, I normally rock my glasses. You know, I normally rock my specs. But today I decided that, you know what? I want to be able to see you. I want to see the people. I want to be able to do it without anything in my face. But Rachel, for those who don't know you, let's just start a little bit at the beginning. Tell us a little bit about yourself. What got you into writing and where you find yourself at this amazing time in your career?
Yeah. So hi, I'm Rachel Lynette. I'm a playwright, theater artist, teaching artist, all the things you have to do to survive in the theater industry. I originally got into theater after failing every other major that you could think of in undergrad. And I just was like, okay, what else can I do? And so I took a script analysis class, fell in love with it, and actually wanted to be like a stage manager and a producer. But then as I was stage managing all of the plays that we read, most of the plays that we read weren't by people of color. They definitely weren't by women of color. They weren't by queer playwrights. And so I remember kind of asking the directors and my professors, like, hey, where are all the playwrights by queer people of color? Like, surely they exist. And they told me they didn't. And so that's kind of when I pivoted to playwriting, because I wanted to make sure no one could ever tell a student that ever again. And so for me, what I really love to do is write about complicated women of color and watching them kind of grapple with things that don't have a right answer, things that are kind of muddy, trying to figure out what's the best thing for this moment rather than the black and white answer of this is right, this is wrong. So that's kind of what I really love to write about. Gosh, where am I in my career right now? I don't know. I never know if I'm like emerging or established. I just feel like I'm like peeking out from the ground. Like, can I come out now? Am I here? Have I arrived? And so that's kind of where I feel like I am still, where I'm still peeking out. I think I've emerged, but I'm not established on the ground yet. So I'm kind of on my way, I guess, which is, yeah.
Well, I definitely understand that. Those terms are so, you know, it's crazy. It's crazy the boxes that we try to push playwrights in or artists in. So much of it is around grant funding, but that, you know, y'all didn't come here to debate the nuances of the structure of the arts industrial complex. You really, you know, came here to learn more about the play. And I wanted just to kind of share with people, Rachel, I found your work on the National New Play Exchange, right? Like I was searching for plays to be featured in a previous season at True Colors. And I just fell in love with your storytelling. You talked about a desire to write stories about queer women of color and to make sure that students did not feel there was a gap, the same gap that you felt. I really want to kind of just go back there for a second. When you write these stories centering these characters, what type of like liberation for your previous self do you feel in that? And how has the American theater received you in your work at that intersection?
Yeah, that's a big question. that's so big. Liberation. I didn't know we were getting that deep. I think that for me, I really want to explore, I always want to explore complicated women, just because I don't think complicated women get to be explored, but I also just kind of want to explore complications within myself. Like, I am a queer person of color. And so a lot of my plays come from me trying to figure out, okay, like what am I trying, like, what in myself am I trying to decipher? What in myself am I trying to unpack? What am I trying to unlearn? Or what am I trying to, like, make up my mind about? And so for me, it feels like a really great exercise for me personally of exploring things in a more nuanced way than I also taught for a while, than in a very academic way. Like, I feel like there's an academic way to think about issues. And then there's like, well, okay, but what do I actually think? Like, I know what I'm supposed to think, but what do I actually think? And so for me, my place kind of let me play in that muddiness longer and let it be messy. And it doesn't have to be as clear cut. For how it's been received with American theater, I think pretty well. I think that, like, some days it feels like, wow, I'm great. It's great. And the other days it's like, does American theater know my name? So I think it's been pretty well. I think that I've been produced quite a bit, readings anyway, throughout the country in almost all 50 states. And I won the Yale Prize 2 years ago. I've won the Latinx Playwriting Award, which is really important to me because I feel like I'm having to yell at the top of my lungs that I'm after Latinx all the time. So yeah, I think American theater has been supportive as much as it can be. And I look forward to it being more supportive. And that's the neatest, simplest answer before I go on an hour rant about that.
Rachel, I want to talk a little bit. I gave a little bit of the behind the curtain fact that, you know, as I was looking for shows in the previous season and we started talking about this, man, we have been on a long ass journey to get this show here. You know, of course, just like all of the hiccups with the pandemic, but I think you and I, we started our relationship maybe around the fall of 2019. I think when I was looking back at when we first started just getting to know each other outside of just me reading your work on page, but also to kind of take people back. I know that this play has had a development stop at True Colors in the pandemic in 2021, maybe February 21. But what has been the development history of this play? But even before then, what inspired you to write this particular story and then maybe then share the development history of the play and the time since?
I will start with the what made me think of it for sure, because that's easier. And I might have to Google myself to look up the development history. So not to get too deep or too personal, but when I wrote Good Bad People when I was still living in Arkansas, and there was a killing of the Black man that wasn't really, it was pre-2020. People weren't really talking about it. Like, I remember I read about it and then I had to go see a show, and it was just very surreal to me that no one seemed to knew what I was talking about. No one seemed to know the name of the person who had died. And this is back in like 2016, 2017. And so, unfortunately, I don't remember which person, because there's been so many and there continues to be so many. Yeah. And so I just remember feeling really surreal that that wasn't what everyone was talking about when I went to go see the show. And then later that night, my partner, who was white, he was talking about how I was going to meet his grandparents and how they were kind of racist, and how, but it's okay because I'm not like those Black people and it should be fine. And I just remember being like, this has been a weird day. Like, from like seeing this play that's all white cast and a mostly white audience, no one's talking about a Black man that's been killed by the police, to being told by my partner at the time, like, you're the good kind of Black person. It really made me want to like analyze, like, what does that actually mean? Like, what does it mean to be like a good Black person? What is that, something that I should be proud of? Like, is that something that I should be happy about, to be accepted? Like, it's like when they call like Black people articulate, you know, you're like,
yeah,
I'm happy that I speak well, but I don't like your tone, you know? So, it really was heavy for me. And so I really wanted to kind of explore that in this play, of just, especially since I know growing up, I was raised to act a certain way. And there are so many things that my parents, like, you can't do that, you can't do that, because you'll be perceived a certain way. And I really, like I said, I use a lot of my plays. I really wanted to unpack a lot of that and see where that got me in the end. And would that actually save my life? And the answer is no, it wouldn't. And so that's kind of where this play came from. Oh no, for the development, I know for sure that there was a reading with Jacqueline Peter in Chicago.
Let's not get you in trouble. Okay, you don't have to get in trouble. This play has had a development history, and we're so thankful to everybody that has helped develop the play. If you want to learn more about Rachel Lynette and their development history, go to their website, right? Like, yes. You know, Google them, right? So we definitely will give love and shout out to everybody who has helped touch this play. You know, one thing that I got really excited by when trying to think about this show and premiering it in True Colors, in you know, what some people call the Black Mecca of Atlanta, but specifically for our audiences, because our audiences are so overwhelmingly Black, that this conversation about, you know, being articulate, about being the good one, is so familiar to maybe to so many people in our audience. And just the other night, True Colors held our True Talks around respectability politics and what role it has played, both the good and the bad it's played in so many perceptions of self for Black people, but also our community writ large. For audiences walking into the Southwest Arts Center during the run of Good Bad People, what are you hoping that they are challenged by seeing your show?
So for Black audiences, I want us to all think about the ways in which respectability politics has played a role in our lives, and in the ways that we, for some of us, adamantly deny it and don't claim that and live in our what we believe our truth to be. And then for those of us who do code switch, for those of us who do have a different voice when we're talking to different demographics of people, for survival reasons and understanding that survival, but also understanding to what end are we doing that? And so just kind of my hope is that we could have a really complex conversation about why is it that we do these things? We say it's for our survival, but at what cost is it hurting us? At what cost are we losing our culture? For anyone who's not Black coming into the audience, I really hope they think about what are the ways in which they've encouraged doublespeak and code switching, and like in what ways can they understand why it's a necessity, but also try to make space so that people don't feel like they have to do that. And ultimately, every audience member, it's just, what does it mean to be Black and safe in America, in the United States? Like, what does it really mean? Because I keep watching the news and I don't know anymore, you know? And that's what I want everyone to walk away thinking about.
Yeah, especially in this time, those of you all who are tuning into this podcast, we're recording it in the days, in the immediate aftermath of Mr. Tyrese murder in Memphis. And we, you know, we're all just kind of like trying to figure out once again how we ask these questions. And Rich, I want to come back to that, but you know, now we're here, let's just be here, let's just sit here in this moment. You, as a playwright, you started working on this play a long time ago. The play is set in a time before 2020, in a time before the world knew Breonna Taylor's name, in a time before the world knew George Floyd's name, but we knew that incidents like this have happened since the time that enslaved Africans arrived in this country, right? It just changed form. So you create and you invent a story that has real world consequence, right? Like the characters in the story are experiencing things that real people have felt. What is that responsibility as a writer to show respect and deference for the real people that experience these things, but also bring people into an invented story so that they can experience their own form of empathy, catharsis, all those things that we love about the live theater, without having specifically to rip or steal someone else's story and put it out on stage, if that makes sense? I know it's a kind of a convoluted question. I apologize for that.
No, it does. It's a really hard, it's a really hard line to walk. I think about it a lot, of just what if someone, something I've thought about recently, because I have this play and another play that kind of has to do around a tragedy. What if someone comes to Good Bad People and they have lost a brother or a sister or a family member to police violence? Like, how would they respond to this play? Like, and that's unfortunately very likely. Like, it's not uncommon for someone to have someone in their family that they lost to this kind of violence. And so something that I try to do my best is just tell the truth as much as I'm able, but to also make space for other people to kind of always say, this is just, like you said, this is a fictionalized version of what I'm seeing happen within me and what I'm seeing happen within the people that I'm around. But this is not the only conversation that we need to make space for people who say, okay, this is an imagined situation for you, but this happened to me last week, and this is very, very real for me. And so what I try to do, and I don't know that I'm perfect at it, but what I try to do is I know what grief feels like. I know what it's like to lose. I've lost a lot of people in my life so far. And so I know what it's like to plan a funeral. I know what it's like to be in that house, and you're in this house with a bunch of people who are mourning, and you don't know how to move forward. And people that I've lost, I didn't lose to natural causes. And so I'm pulling from that grief and that knowing, while also knowing that I'm not speaking for any particular family. There was a long time ago where the play did start by naming Black people who had been killed by the police that year. And I actually chose to take that out because I really wanted to make it clear that I'm not telling their story. I'm telling a story like theirs. So you go look them up and you start to do something and inspire change.
Well, you know, one of the things that I love, y'all, we're having an opportunity back on the True Colors podcast to chat with Rachel Lynette, playwright of Good Bad People, currently on stage at True Colors Theater Company. One thing I love about the cradle of True Colors for Black storytelling is that we recognize that, yes, inside of grief, inside of pain, there's some honest feelings. But on the other side of it, intertwined in it is also joy. Anybody who's gone through grief, but anybody who has inhibited the world, recognizes that grief intermixes with joy and happiness and all of the good feelings too. And there's so much of that inside this play. And one thing I've really benefited from in watching the talented all female identifying company led by the inimitable E.B. Owolabi is that there's so much joy in that space, but you all also are finding joy in the play. Talk a little bit about the way that humor, you know, dark humor, if we want to call it, but plays inside of this story and how those things can lay right next to each other and not make for as strange bedfellows as people try to make it seem.
Yeah, I think humor is life-saving. You know, I think humor and joy is revolutionary. You know, I really do. I think that choosing to find joy and happiness in a world that tells you you don't belong here and I'm going to get rid of you as fast as I can is the most revolutionary thing you can do. As someone in a repressed body, especially specifically for Black people, because they really don't want us to have joy. And I think about I'm not religious anymore. I think about Black churches, right? Like, it's just a party. Like, it's just a good time. And it's about and for me, what I really loved about it was just reclaiming joy and all that suffering, you know? And I think that that's something that's really important culturally, but also for me, I think a lot of times when we hear these stories, and this is in the play, and when people write, people who aren't Black, write these stories, it kind of turns very quickly into that genre of trauma porn, right? Where it's look at how horrible it is. Look at how bad it is. And if I was a young Black person coming up in the world, if I was 20 and all I saw was theater telling me that my whole existence is horrible, why would I want to keep coming up? I would just be I quit. I don't want to do this anymore. And so I think it's really important that anytime we talk about trauma, we also find a way to balance and joy and say yes, this is the reality of our situation, but we're going to fight that. And joy is our resistance to that.
What are you learning from actors, from these specific actors here in that first couple of days that inspires you to go back, write something and then send it back to bring us into that part of the process?
I love working with actors. I really, really do. I love working with actors. I love working with directors. I like having other people around. I think for so long, playwriting really does feel like you're in your room in the dark, just writing a little play, and you're laughing to yourself and you look kind of nuts and just And so it's really nice to see things resonate and see how things land. And actors, even if it's their first read, actors are so well trained that they just have an eye. They're I know where this is going. I'm ready. And you can kind of see what they're anticipating. And as a playwright, it feels really good when, especially on a first or second read, an actor picks up something that you think is kind of sneaky and they just land it. And that brings a lot of joy to me. And so I love being in the room on the first week, especially because I like seeing what an actor's strength is. I have a bad habit of editing too much to actor's strengths. And then later when the play goes to a different room, it's oh no. And so I've actually had to pull back because I genuinely just love seeing what actors can do. And once I figure out what their strengths are, I took acting and I was an actor for a bit. So seeing an actor's strengths and being let me help you, let the script help you, because I think theater should be collaborative on all ends, including from the page. So for me in this experience, it was really great just hearing people laugh, hearing people talk about their relationships to the different characters. Specifically, I've had a long time, I've been working on this play for years, and I've had a really hard time with Audra, of really nailing her so that she feels fully complex but you also understand, without giving too much away, the choices that she's made that's put her in these situations. And this room really helped me get that because I could hear it more and I could go, oh, okay, I finally get, we have an actor who I believe, if I'm right, Evie told me has an improv background. And so I was able to bring some of that experience, that character. I'm like, oh, I see it now. I see what I need to change. And it's because of that amazing improv background that I'm able to do that, which is incredible. And I love that.
You know, yeah, just speaking about just the joy and the improvisation, the Southwest Arts Center is a beautiful venue. And while it can seat so many people, you never feel too far away from the stage. And the beauty of this story is that it's going to be drop right in people's laps as they enjoy it. You all, True Colors Podcast, we are back better than ever. We're chatting here with Rachel Lynette, a playwright of Good Bad People, on stage at the Southwest Arts Center, February 14th through March 12th. Rachel, as we kind of go home, I mentioned that this show is kicking off True Colors' 20th anniversary, but it's year two of our three-year cycle of what we're calling our Sankofa seasons. Sankofa, Adinkra symbology, you know, mostly meaning a return to retrieve. You got to go back and get the things that may have been lost, may have been left, may have been misconstrued, misunderstood, and bring them with you as you move forward. And in the middle, in this 20th anniversary season, we're talking about reclaiming ours. What are narratives that have been, you know, misunderstood or not fully fleshed out, so that we can better understand them, internalize them in the right kind of way, as opposed to how they've been detrimental to us, like respectability politics. When I say reclaiming ours to you, what does that make you think of? And why do you feel like Good Bad People is an appropriate play for a season that's all about reclaiming?
Yeah, I think when I think about reclaiming ours generally, I think about how, especially post-2020, how conversations of cultural appropriation versus cultural appreciation are really dominating a lot of like the centerfold of conversations about, like, can certain people have box braids? Can certain people use AAVE? Like, and I think a lot about, like, what does it mean, like, certain words are being censored that mean differently in AAVE than they mean in, like, American English. And so when I think about reclaiming ours, I think about being able to say with pride, like, this is a Black thing, and let it be a Black thing. And I think that for a really long time, I can only speak to myself, but in my experience, it was kind of scary when I was growing up to say this is a Black thing, because you didn't want to, like, what was it, self-isolate is kind of what my parents would call it.
Yeah.
And now it's like, I'm not self-isolating. I'm standing tall and proud in what is mine. And that's what reclaiming ours means to me, is that, no, I'm still going to stay in the group, but I'm going to shine as brightly as I want to, because that's what I get to do. And that's what I deserve to do. I mean, all people, but specifically my people should have a chance to let shine as bright as they want to. And so that's what I think it means generally. For Good Bad People specifically, I think it's for me, it's about kind of reclaiming the narrative. There's a part in the play where one of the characters says she doesn't want to be the crying mom on TV. And I think we all know exactly what that mom looks like. We know what that family looks like. We know the news cycles. We know how they recycle things. We know the pictures that they choose, the word choices that they use, versus, like, anyway, I won't get into that. But just for me, the play is about saying, like, we're reclaiming the way that you talk about us when a tragedy happens to us, because we need to really have a sit in and talk about how the way in which you've discussed us once we're no longer here is unacceptable. And we need to redefine that and reclaim it and kind of take some of that power back, so that we're not just a news cycle, but we realize these are lives that are being lost and we need to do something about it. So that's kind of what, for me, Good Bad People has to do with reclaiming ours.
I think why I'm so drawn to your voice as a playwright, just to your brain as a person. You talked about just standing proud and standing tall. And I think that's just, like, a perfect way to kind of encapsulate our conversation today, and about just the joy in which I have in having the opportunity to produce your show here in Atlanta at True Colors. There's a pride in the storytelling. There's a pride in the performance. That we have. I can't wait for these hardworking artists, yourself included, to meet that moment when they take their first breath on stage to the final bow. Can't wait till they have that, like, just that beautiful mix of, I walked in here not knowing what to expect, I leave out here changed. I think all of our audience members throughout this story will leave definitely more prideful and understanding that a narrative inside themselves and for our people have been reclaimed. So Rachel, just thank you for your brilliance. Thank you for everything that you've done. Thank you for sticking with us. Thank you for giving True Colors the opportunity to tell your story. And I don't know if you have anything you want to leave people with, but I'm just so grateful for you.
No, just come see the show. Please come see the show. Come say hi. And I'm excited to talk to people after.
Y'all got to come and see this show. True Colors Theater at the Southwest Arts Center. Good Bad People by Rachel Lynette, directed by E.B. Olabi, on stage at the Southwest Arts Center, February 14th through March 12th. Get your tickets. TrueColorsTheater.org is the place to go. You all, please come back. We're going to have a full season. There will be more True Colors podcasts, more dynamic artists like Rachel appearing on and off the stage, behind the scenes, and everywhere in between. We thank you all so very much. We love you all for checking it out. We'll see you next time.